Come, Holy Spirit, take these words to speak to us through them. I ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When I was in high school, I worked one summer for a construction company. And one of our jobs as in the construction company was to hang sheetrock in buildings and houses. And one of the ways that we did that back in those days was to lay the sheetrock down and use what was called a plumb line. And a plumb line was kind of a line that was in this little contraption that had chalk in it, and blue chalk in it. And so we'd stretch out the line and we'd line it up with one of the points where we were wanting to make the cut, and then the other line, the other part of it down the other end where we wanted it to end up making the cut. And then we'd just kind of pop it onto the back of the sheetrock, and that would give us an indication of where to cut so that we would make sure that we cut it exactly the right dimensions. And so I did that on one occasion, and you would think that you couldn't mess that up. You would think that you couldn't mess up making a straight line with popping it on there, but I found a way to do that. And so they soon realized that my gift was not in construction, and so they kind of had me do other things that didn't require so much precise, and that sort of thing. In our first lesson today from Amos, God talks about a plumb line. And Amos talks about a plumb line, God speaking through him. And so I'd like us to focus on that particular passage. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Amos chapter 7, starting at verse 7. In the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1433. Amos chapter 7, starting at verse 7. And God is speaking through Amos, trying to speak through him to the people of Israel. And he describes something that is kind of unusual in those days, but certainly is understood in our day. He says in verse 7 of Amos chapter 7, "This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, 'What do you see, Amos?' 'A plumb line,' he replied. Then the Lord said, 'Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam.'" And what God is saying here is that the wall in the vision was plumb line built. And it can be surmised not only from the grammar used there, but also from the facts lying behind the vision. When the northern tribes of Israel had seceded from the house of David after the death of Solomon, it was not without divine commission. The king Jeroboam, not the one in this passage, had been given the northern kingdom under certain conditions, but he didn't fulfill those conditions. Instead, he set about to build golden calves at both Dan and Bethel. And because of that, those conditions were also applied to each of the successive dynasties under which, until the fall of Israel. But each successive king failed. And Jeroboam II in our lesson today was no exception. So we have a picture here of the Lord measuring a plumb line built wall with a plumb line. He built the wall, but then it got out of alignment. It no longer was plumb. It no longer was lined up the way it should be. And as a result, the Lord was setting this plumb line among his people, Israel. Because of their sins, they were no longer able to have their sins passed over. And the Lord really is calling them, as he says later on in Amos, that he will hold them accountable for their sins and punish them for those sins. The plumb line vision that we see in Amos really is not just significant for them, but it's also for us as well. As we need a plumb line to know what is straight and what is true. And secondly, more importantly, we need to know how to align ourselves with that plumb line. The Bible speaks in various places about God building things, and certainly Jesus talks about the man building his house on a solid rock rather than upon shifting sand. Paul talks about building when he says, "By the grace of God that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care." For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Peter talks about some people that he knew that were Christians that really were starting to go the way of, as he described it, Sodom and Gomorrah, who left the straight way and wandered off the follow way to follow the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness, as he said. So the question really is, what is our plumb line? What is the thing that helps us to know the direction we need to go, the way we need to go? How do we know what God wants us to do? And the plumb line really lies in two different things. It lies, first of all, in the Scriptures, the Bible. The Bible is the main plumb line that we have by which we are to measure our lives. And the second part of that is the Holy Spirit. So as David writes in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." The Scriptures are designed to give us direction and guidance to help us through the various aspects of our lives and to help us to know what God wants us to do. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We are to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Scriptures so that they can be used by God to give us that direction that He desires to give us. We study the Scriptures not just so that we will know what God is like and what His will is, but also to align ourselves with His will. The book of Amos is a call of God for man to return to Him and His ways. The Bible is not an encyclopedia to increase our knowledge. It's not a self-help book to make our lives on earth easier and more comfortable. The Bible isn't written to give us steps to overcoming worry or to teach us how to manage our finances or to be successful in our work or conquering our fears, although God does provide answers to those particular situations. The Bible is written primarily to reveal the character of God and to call for us to return to Him and to live according to His ways. Unfortunately, many people are rather ignorant of the Bible because they've never really read it or studied it. Albert Stotterman tells the story of a time when he was preaching a sermon, and he was telling a joke about two men who were talking to each other, and one asked the other the question, "Do you know what the epistles are?" And the other man replied, "Well, yeah, they're the wives of the apostles." He said that after the sermon, a lady came up to him and she said, "You know, I didn't understand that joke. If the epistles aren't the wives of the apostles, whose wives are they anyway?" Well, the reality is many people just don't know the Scriptures. They think they know little bits and pieces of the Scriptures, but not enough really to help guide them and lead them in their lives. And certainly the Bible is a plumb line to keep us on what is commonly called the straight and narrow. That's only part of how the plumb line works, however. The plumb line has to have some sort of indicator to help us to know that the line we're following is straight. And that is, of course, to align ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do that when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and empowers us to follow in God's Word. Turn, if you will, into the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 36. That's found on page 1349 of the Pew Bibles. Ezekiel chapter 36. And God is speaking to His people through the prophet Ezekiel here. And He says this in verse 25 of Ezekiel chapter 36. He says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean." That's a good Anglican baptismal verse if there ever was one. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Look at what verse 27 says. "And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have any hope of being able to keep the law of God, any hope of being able to follow in the ways that God wants us to go. The Bible really can transform not only our lives, but also our lifestyle. Many of you have been familiar, perhaps, with the story of the Mutiny on the Bounty. Maybe you've seen the movie or you've read the book. But you may not realize that the Bible played a very important role in the end of that story. And the Bounty, of course, was a British ship that was sent from England in 1787. It was bound for the South Seas. And the idea was that they were to take trees that were to bear fruit and other food to that island to make it more habitable. And so when they arrived on the island, they set about to do what the government had charged them to do. And when they finished their task, the order was given for them to go back onto the ship so that they could sail back home. But by that time, the men had become so accustomed to the native women and to the beautiful surroundings, the wonderful climate, and the ease of South Sea Island life, that they didn't want to go back. So they mutinied against the captain, Captain Bligh. And so they set Captain Bligh and some of his committed officers in a ship, an open ship, an open boat, and they just sent him a sail on the ocean. Well, somehow miraculously, Captain Bligh found his way back to England, and he told his story there. So they sent out a ship that was designed to go and find all the mutineers. And so when they landed on the island, they found that there were 14 of them still remaining, and so they brought them to British justice. But 9 of the other sailors had departed and had gone to a distant island. And so while they were there at that distant island, 9 of these men who were there really began to live quite a debauched and debased life. It was really based largely upon the fact that they were able to make alcohol, make whiskey out of some of the local plants. And the result of the alcohol as well as other bad habits really ended up in causing them to lead to their ruin. And disease and murder took the lives of all the native men and all but one of the white men in the crew. And that man that survived was named Alexander Smith. He found himself the only man on the island surrounded by a crowd of women, and as they were called back then, half-breed children. Alexander Smith found a Bible among the possessions of a dead sailor. The book was new to him. He'd never read it before, and so he sat down to begin to read the Bible from cover to cover, and it transformed his life. He became a believer in Christ. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to share the benefit that he had learned from the Scriptures with the native women and children. And so he began to do that, and he taught them and read to them from the Scriptures. And it was 20 years before a ship actually found this island. And when they arrived, they discovered a kind of utopia that was there. The people were living in decency, prosperity, harmony, and peace. There was nothing of crime, disease, immorality, insanity, or illiteracy. So how was all this accomplished? It was accomplished not only by the Word of God, but also by the whole power of the Holy Spirit, as these native children and women came to know the Scriptures. So the question is, how are we going to be living by the plumb line that God sets for us? How can we live by the plumb line of the Scriptures? How can we begin to do the things that God wants us to do to line up our lives with His will? And the answer to that is, we can only hope to do so by being filled with this Holy Spirit, by asking Him to fill us to the point that we not only have the desire to do what His Word says, but we have the power to implement that Word in our lives. So I'm going to pray now and ask God that He would fill us with His Spirit so that we would not only be led to do those things that are according to His Word and His will, but also that we would have the power to do them as He leads us into those areas. Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You are merciful to us even when we go astray, even when we don't follow Your Word, even when we don't follow Your will. We ask, Lord, that you would not only give us the desire to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Scriptures, but also to be able to put them into practice in our lives. We know that we can only do that through the power of Your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, would You fill us now with Your Spirit and give us the ability to not only learn Your Word, but also to be doers of that Word and not just hearers only. I ask, Lord, that You would empower us with Your Holy Spirit from this day forward so that we might truly live lives that are renewed, lives that reflect Your life and the way that You want us to live. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.